Welcome to the Employment Law and HR Podcast with your host, Allison Cauley.
Hello and welcome to this episode number 22 of the Employment Law and HR Podcast. I'm your host for the show, Allison Cauley. I'm an employment solicitor and HR specialist, and I run my own business, Real Employment Law Advice. For those of you who haven't listened before, the purpose of this podcast is to bring you a brief overview of the employment law, basically for employers and managers and HR professionals, so that you can stay on top of what's changing with employment law and some best practice tips in an easy to consume way. So hopefully you find it helpful. And in this week's episode, I'm going to tell you about a recent case that was dealt with by the Employment Appeal Tribunal. This is, of course, my first post-election show, and therefore there is a blank canvas, if you like, as to what's going to happen with employment law going forward. But given the previous government's sway towards family-friendly rights, with things like the introduction to flexible working for everyone and shared parental leave, I would imagine that we'll see more of a move towards that. And obviously, clearly, David Cameron has now taken steps to ensure that his cabinet, it reflects a gender balance, or a better gender balance, should I say. And therefore, you may very well find that there are changes to employment law going forward that try to address things like the gender balance in companies and boards. That kind of work has already started, but I can imagine that that's be something that comes next. So watch this space, and don't worry, don't fear not. Please just continue to listen to the Employment Law and HR podcast, and I will continue to update you. Now, the case in question is Jinadu versus Docklands Buses Limited. Hopefully, I've pronounced the employee's name correctly there. If I haven't and you can't work out what it is, then please have a look at my show notes where you'll be able to find more details. Find them at adviceforemployers.co.uk/podcast/22. This case is concerning unfair dismissal, and where the reason for dismissal is some other substantial reason. Now, if I give you a bit of background about this case, Miss Jinadu was employed as a bus driver by Docklands Buses Limited, and her driving as a bus driver was considered to be below the acceptable standards that were required by the employer in this case. What actually happened was a car driver made a complaint about Miss Jinadu's driving, and as a result, the accident prevention supervisor for the employer watched the CCTV footage of the incident and reported various failings in Miss Jinadu's driving. Apparently, he referred to, for example, her pulling out with cars still passing, driving with one hand, clipping curbs, showing poor lane discipline, running a red light and pulling into the path of two cars. In response to this report, the operating manager, who was in charge of, ultimately in charge of Miss Jinadu's employment, received a report and invited her to a fact-finding meeting, so an investigation meeting. Miss Jinadu attended the meeting with her union rep, and the outcome of the meeting was that Mr. Dalton, the manager, decided that having viewed the CCTV record, that her driving was below standard, and he arranged for her to have a driving assessment at their training centre. The employer had an in-house training centre, and so instead of sending her straight for disciplinary action or instigating a disciplinary procedure, he sent her for an assessment of her driving. Now, initially, she failed to attend the driving assessment at the centre, and when asked why she wasn't actually going to the training, Miss Jinadu said that she thought that her manager was making her a scapegoat and bullying her. Now, there was a bit of dispute about what was actually said at that meeting, but it was ultimately found by the tribunal that there had been some words used by Miss Jinadu which made it clear that she was opposed to attending the training assessment. Because Miss Jinadu was failing to respond to what he thought was a legitimate request, her manager, Mr. Dalton, immediately suspended her. And he suspended her without pay. It's subsequently been accepted that that was a breach of her contract, unless there is a specific provision within the contract that says you can suspend somebody without pay in these circumstances, it would be unlawful to do so. So he'd done something wrong there. In any event, a disciplinary hearing was scheduled, and Miss Jinadu was subsequently dismissed from her employment. She was dismissed for gross misconduct and notified that she would be dismissed with notice pay. She was told that she would actually be paid weekly until her appeal, if she wanted to appeal. So she appealed against the decision to dismiss her. In the appeal, the employer actually gave her a second chance and said that they would adjourn the appeal hearing for her to attend the training school. And she was informed that if she went to the training school, and then whether she failed or passed, actually, she had to return to the appeal before being reinstated into her role. And then the remainder of her driving issues would be dealt with later on. Despite the second chance, Miss Janadu didn't actually attend the training school on the date that was set out for her. And she once again said she felt she was being bullied and intimidated into going to the training school. Subsequently, Miss Janadu said that she'd injured her knee, and that was why she couldn't go to a further rearranged time for the driving school. And she requested some light work. She remained unfit for work from October until March, and during this time her appeal remained adjourned. When she attended the training school on the 26th of March, she was required to attend corrective training, and following the corrective training she took an assessment on the 5th of April and she failed it. The disciplinary hearing was then reconvened at the end of April and her dismissal was upheld. Now, Miss Janadu pursued a claim in the Employment Tribunal, and the Employment Tribunal decided that the employer had a fair reason for dismissing her, and therefore she did not succeed in her claim for unfair dismissal. So the employee, Miss Janadu, then appealed to the Employment Appeal Tribunal, and she raised a number of issues in her appeal. The issue that I want to talk to you about in the podcast today is one that was raised, and that was whether or not the employer was required to suspend the disciplinary process and investigate a grievance which was related. Now, what was alleged in her appeal was that, in accordance with the employer's grievance procedure, they should have given consideration to suspending the disciplinary procedure for a short period while her grievances were dealt with. They also alleged a number of other failings in relation to the process, and that they employer had got the reason for her dismissal wrong. They should have dealt with it by way of capability rather than a conduct issue, as they had. The Employment Appeal Tribunal decided that actually no, there was no obligation upon the employer to suspend the disciplinary investigation or put the disciplinary on hold while they dealt with the grievances that she'd raised. Now, this case was referred back to the Employment Tribunal by the Employment Appeal Tribunal in relation to a couple of the other points that were raised in the appeal. And that was to say that, in the opinion of the appeal tribunal, the tribunal, when making their decision, had not made proper findings as to the reasons for the dismissal of Miss Janadu's appeal and the reasons for unreasonableness of Miss Janadu's dismissal by reference to those reasons. So it was rather a complicated case, as you can tell by the facts, in that the employer adjourned the issue and then other things came up in the interim. So initially, she was dismissed by reason of her conduct. So they considered it gross misconduct that she failed to adhere to the reasonable instructions of attending the training centre. And then subsequently on appeal, it would appear that the appeal was not upheld because she had then failed her test, her capability test as a driver, basically. So that's where the Employment Appeal Tribunal decided actually the tribunal hadn't dealt with those issues sufficiently enough. So it's rather interesting. But the most interesting point about this, and the key thing to take home from it, is that there is no obligation upon you in law to suspend the disciplinary procedure whilst you investigate a grievance which is raised. It's quite often the case that employees will raise a grievance either related to what the disciplinary allegations are or related to their manager to try to defend their position, should you say, or to try to mitigate the reasons for the disciplinary issue. And so it's very common that that happens. Now, you can, of course, suspend the disciplinary procedure and deal with the grievance if you wish to do so, or you can run them alongside each other, but there is no obligation to do so. As long as you deal with both the disciplinary and grievance in accordance with your own policies and procedures and in line with the ACAS procedures, then you should not be criticised in relation to the procedures that you follow. So as I said, there'll be some details about that case in the show notes if you do want to have a full read yourself and to summarise the key points from that. Now for my best practice HR tip of the week. And this is following on from the theme about disciplinary and grievance issues. And that is to say, if you're in the kind of organisation where you have more than one or two people in a senior position who deal with disciplinary and grievance issues, it's advisable to ensure that there's at least one person, if you've got a management team, for instance, who isn't involved in either the investigation or the disciplinary in any way, or who has no input into the decision making. The reason for that is because when you get to the appeal stage, it is helpful to have somebody who hasn't been involved. And if you've got grievance appeals and disciplinary appeals, then having somebody impartial who haven't already had any dealings will make life a lot easier for you. So what you should do is try to put up some invisible walls and select somebody who's going to be taken out of any involvement in the issue, particularly if it's fairly messy and involves allegations against other managers. In the event that your organisation is fairly small and you don't have anyone else to turn to, there isn't a requirement for you to outsource or to go outside of your organisation for somebody to deal with an appeal impartially or a grievance impartially. But it is really strongly advisable that you do. Now, this doesn't have to necessarily be a professional person, but if you have somebody else who runs a business or who is in a senior position in another business that you can call upon to deal with an issue confidentially, then that's one way of doing it. The other way is to get somebody like myself in to deal with it, or another HR professional from outside. Of course, that will cost you some money to do that, but in the long run, if the case does end up at the employment tribunal, at least you can say then that you have done all you can to ensure that the matter was dealt with by somebody who wasn't previously involved or who wasn't subject to grievance allegations. The times that it becomes messy is where an employee raises a grievance against a manager, for instance, and then the manager deals with the disciplinary decision. So that's my HR best practice tip. Hopefully you've enjoyed this week's show and you found it useful. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great week. Thanks again for listening. Just want to finalise by saying I wouldn't be a lawyer unless I had a legal disclaimer. So I must just say to you that the information in this podcast is for information only. It's general review and a general update. It's always necessary to get specific legal advice about your circumstances. So please don't rely on anything that you've heard in this podcast. But please do feel free to contact me if you'd like further information or specific advice.